Good morning.
What an amazing opportunity we have to come gather together and worship.
Isn't this just exciting?
I am so grateful that God has given us life. He's given us health and strength to be able to come here this morning to worship in freedom. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The message that I want to share this morning, it's not something new. It's something that we've all heard before. But I've titled it, Carry the Flame. I want to start off with reading in Psalm chapter 139. I want us to first of all, to grasp our Father and how intricately He created us in His image. And how deep the Father's love is for us. And how He created each one of us with purpose. There's not any one of us that does not have purpose in this life. Psalm 139. O Lord, You have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. You know my thoughts when I'm far away. God, You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place Your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from Your Spirit. I can never get away from Your presence. If I go up to heaven, You are there. If I go down to the grave, You are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there Your hand will guide me and Your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from You. To You, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to You. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body, and You knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank You for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in Your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are Your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of the sand. And when I wake up, You are still with me. And then 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Point out anything in me that offends You. And lead me along the path of everlasting life. Wow. Incredible. This is our God that we serve. He loves us so very much. We can't even understand the depth of His love that He has for us. In Isaiah 49, a chapter that we're going to be looking at, it says in verses 14 and 16, yet Jerusalem says, the Lord has deserted us, the Lord has forgotten us. Never. Can a mother forget her nursing child? Can she feel no love for the child she has born? But even if that were possible, I would not forget you, says the Lord. See, I have written your name on the palm of my hand. God has written your name on the palm of His hand. He cannot forget you. He says, I will not forget you. Even if it were possible that a mother could no longer love for the child she has born. We don't even think that is even possible. Even if that were possible, the Lord says, I would not forget you. I'm grateful for my wife's pictures on the wall. I was sitting at my desk the other day trying to decide what I could share on. I was sitting there pleading out to the Lord, just show me something. Like I was struggling. I was like, I don't know what I want to share. And after I was done praying, I look up, and right there in front of me was a picture I don't think I'd ever even observed before. And it said, from Isaiah 49, verse 6, the picture said, I will make you as a light to the nations, so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. It's like, yep, that's it. That's what I got to share on. I will make you as a light to the nations, so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 5, I'm going to be going through quite a bit of scripture and trying to bring things together. Reading from the New Living Translation, Ephesians chapter 5, living in the light. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. I've seen stories, foolish talk, coarse jokes. These are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Don't participate in things these people do. Verse 8, for once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. It is shameful to even talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret. But their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them. For the light makes everything visible. That is why it is said, awake, O sleep, arise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let each of us search our own hearts this morning. Have we shut the door to God in our life and confined ourselves inside of the shell? Have we become separated from the vine? Have we blinded our eyes and shut our ears off? Paul says here in verse 14, awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light. God calls us to testify of the works of Christ in our life. He calls us to testify of what we have seen and what we have heard. We know that this world is just getting darker and darker. But what happens when the light shines in the darkness? It exposes it. When it gets darker, our light becomes brighter. You might say, well, I don't have a good story. Yes, you do. We all have a good story. Those of us that have claimed Christ as our Savior, we have an amazing story and a message to share. Christ inside of us wants to overflow. For me personally, I know how I can stray and how fast my heart can change. Lord, empty me of the selfishness inside. Empty me of my pride and my vain ambitions. Anything that my heart tries to hold on to, Lord, empty me of that so I can be filled with you. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Last Sunday morning, Voice of Praise was here singing. And We were sitting over here on this bench, and there was this older lady sitting in front of us. And she was just sitting there. She had her hands clasped, and she had a huge smile on her face, and she was just beaming. I was like, wow, she has Jesus inside of her. That really blessed me. Every once in a while, she would doze off, and then her head would come back up again. But then she would smile again. We all have a ministry. We have Jesus inside of us. Can we empty ourselves of what's filling us so that we can be filled with Jesus so that His light can overflow? Can people see Jesus in me? Matthew 5. It's up to you if you want to turn to these passages. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. Let us not put a basket over ourselves. When we light the lamp in our house, we're not going to put something over it to cover the light. No, we would. It's ridiculous. We'd never do that. Let's not do the same. God called us to be the light of the world. Why? Because Jesus was first commissioned as God's servant and light to all nations, and He continues His ministry through us as His believers. God desires that none be lost, but that all come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. Lord, ignite a fire within us. Isaiah 48. I'm going to stay in this chapter. Isaiah 48 and 49 for a little bit. If you remember back to Mike's message in Revelation, he mentioned Babylon a little bit. And John talks about the Babylonians as one of the greatest enemies of God. It says they're a symbol of Satan's power and the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Here in Isaiah 48, this is after the Babylonians had invaded Judah. They destroyed Jerusalem and the temple, and they carried them off into their lands as exiles. And they've been in this land for 70 years. And God is about to free them from this captivity. Isaiah 48, listen to me, O family of Jacob, you who are called by the name of Israel and born into the family of Judah. Listen, you who take oaths in the name of the Lord and call on the God of Israel. You don't keep your promises, even though you call yourself the holy city and talk about depending on the God of Israel, whose name is the Lord of heaven's armies. Long ago, I told you what was going to happen. Then suddenly I took action and all my predictions came true. Verse 4, for I know how stubborn and obstinate you are. Your necks are as unbending as iron. Your heads are as hard as bronze. That is why I told you what would happen. I told you beforehand what I was going to do, that you can never say, my idols did it. My wooden image and metal god commanded it to happen. You have heard my predictions and seen them fulfilled, but you refuse to admit it. Now I will tell you new things, secrets you have never heard. They are brand new things from the past, so you cannot say, we knew that all the time. Christ is about to show the Israelites something new, something that they had never heard of before. What's he talking about here? He's going to be showing them that he's going to be able to deliver them from something. Deliver them from sin. He's going to be showing them something new. If you remember we all know the Exodus story well of God delivering the Israelites from the Egyptians, parting the Red Sea, and what an amazing act of deliverance that was. And also here in Babylonian captivity, two powerful groups of people that God is delivering them from. But he's going to show them that he can deliver them from something so much greater. Eight through 11. Yes, I will tell you of things that are entirely new, things you have never heard before. For I know so well what traitors you are. You have been rebels from birth. Yet for my own sake and for the honor of my name, I will hold back my anger and not wipe you out. I have refined you, but not as silver is refined. Rather, I have refined you in the furnace of suffering. I will rescue you for my sake. Yes, for my own sake, I will not let my reputation be tarnished, and I will not share my glory with idols. For God's sake, he was going to rescue the Israelites here. God does not want to share his glory with idols. He would not let his reputation be tarnished. Why did he even allow the Israelites to be in captivity in the first place? It says in verse 10, I have refined you. I have refined you in the furnace of suffering. These people there, it says in verse 4, your necks are as unbending as iron. They were stubborn. The Israelites were stubborn, and God was refining them through this suffering. Verse 12. Listen to me, O family of Jacob, Israel, my chosen ones. I alone am God, the first and the last. It was my hand that laid the foundations of the earth. My right hand that spread out the heavens above. When I call out the stars, they all appeared in order. Have any of your idols ever told you this? Come, all of you, and listen. The Lord has chosen Cyrus as his ally. He will use him to put an end to the empire of Babylon and destroy the Babylonian armies. I have said, I am calling Cyrus. I will send him on this errand and help him succeed. Come closer and listen to this. From the beginning, I have told you plainly what would happen. Verse 20, yet even now be free from captivity. Leave the Babylonians. Sing out this message. Shout it to the end of the earth. The Lord has redeemed his servants, the people of Israel. They were not thirsty when he led them through the desert. He divided the rock and water gushed out for them to drink. But there is no peace for the wicked, says the Lord. The Lord delivered them. He freed them. He calls for them to sing out this message. Moving on to chapter 49. This is where I believe it really shows us the heart of God. I want you to notice the relationship here between God and Jesus. The Lord's commissioned servant. Who do you think the Lord's commissioned servant is here? Anybody? Who's the Lord's commissioned servant? Any ideas? Just a guess. Israel, us, Isaiah, Jesus. Multiple choice. Jesus. Yeah, you're right. The Lord's commissioned servant here, it's Jesus. Verse 1, it says, listen to me, all you in distant lands. Pay attention, you are far away. It's a call to not only to the Israelites, to the Gentiles, to us as the reader. It's a call to listen. This is important. Pay attention. The Lord called me before my birth. From within the womb, he called me by name. In Matthew 1, verse 20-23, as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within you, within her, was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Verse 21, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. From within the womb, God called Jesus by name. Verse 2, he made my words of judgment as sharp as a sword. He has hidden me in the shadow of his hand. I'm like a sharp arrow in his quiver. This is Jesus talking. He made my words of judgment as sharp as a sword. God's words are true. And they're convicting. They're piercing like a sharp sword. And it's the same idea with an arrow. I believe this symbolizes God's salvation reaching to the ends of the earth and convicting. A sharp arrow, convicting to the heart. Verse 3, he said to me, you are my servant Israel, and you will bring me glory. This verse I do not understand. We have to talk about this one later, because when it's referencing Israel here, what it seems like it should be saying, Jesus, this is something that I didn't figure out. Verse 4, I replied, but my work seems so useless. I have spent my strength for nothing and to no purpose, yet I leave it all in the Lord's hands. I will trust God for my reward. This constant cycle of Israel, how they would fall and then return to the Lord again, and then they would fall, return to the Lord again. Jesus said, my work seems in vain. But yet, Father, I leave it in your hands. Have you ever had some of these same thoughts? What is God's will for my life? What is his ministry in me? Am I on the right path? We're going to have to keep moving. I want a quick look at Psalm 25, 1 through 14, and quick just draw five things regarding to these questions. What is God's will for my life? What is ministry in me? Am I on the right path? Psalm 25, 1 through 14. O Lord, I give my life to you. I trust you, my God. Do not let me be disgraced, or let my enemies rejoice in my defeat. No one who trusts in you will ever be disgraced, but disgrace comes to those who try to deceive others. Show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. Lead me by your truth and teach me, for you are a God who saves me. All day long I put my hope in you. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and unfailing love. Do not remember the rebellious sins of my youth. Remember me in the light of your unfailing love, for you are merciful, O Lord. The Lord is good and does what is right. He shows the proper path to those who go astray. He leads the humble in doing right, teaching them his way. The Lord leads them with unfailing love and faithfulness, all who keep his covenant and obey his demands. For the honor of your name, O Lord, forgive my many, many sins. Who are those who fear the Lord? He will show them the path that they should choose. They will live in prosperity, and their children will inherit the land. The Lord is a friend to those who fear him. He teaches them his covenant. Verse 1, first of all, the Lord, I give you my life in complete surrender. I lay it down at the feet of Jesus. Trust him. Secondly, verse 9, He leads the humble in doing right, teaching them his ways. Be humble. No ministry or no strength is going to be effective. And I want to look at a little more at that later. Be humble. Verse 10. The Lord leads with unfailing love and faithfulness all who keep his covenant and obey his demands. Keep his covenant and obey his commands. And lastly, in verse 11, repent of your sin. If you want to be on the right path and not go astray, repent of your sin. No, not lastly. Lastly here, verse 12. Fear the Lord. Take refuge in him. Draw close to him. Be in the state of awe and submission towards him. Back to Isaiah 49. Verse 5. And now the Lord speaks, the one who formed me in my mother's womb to be his servant, who commissioned me to bring Israel back to him. The Lord has honored me, and my God has given me strength. He says to me, you will do more than restore the people of Israel to me. I will make you as a light to the Gentiles, and you will bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. God's commissioning Jesus here. I will do more than restore the Israelites back to me. You will be a light to the Gentiles. You will bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. And Jesus fulfilled his Father's will in this. In John 6, verses 32 through 34, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father did. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. So they said, give us that bread every day. Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But you haven't believed in me, even though you have seen me. However, those the Father has given me will come to me, and I will never reject them. Verse 38, for I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. And this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of all those he has given me, but that I should raise them up in the last day. For it is my Father's will that all who see his Son and believe in him should have eternal life. I will raise them up in the last day. How did he fulfill his Father's will? He brought the kingdom of God down to earth, and he revealed it to the world. He bore witness to the truth. It says in John 18:37, for this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Jesus brought healing to the blind, to the deaf, and to the lame. He brought the dead back to life. He brought restoration. To restore means to fix what was broken. Ever since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, the world has been sinful and it's been broken. Ultimately, Jesus gave up his life on the cross at Calvary. He suffered the most unbearable pain that we could ever imagine. He surrendered to his Father's plan. Matthew 26:39 says, he went on a little farther and bowed his face to the ground, praying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Luke 23:46, and when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. Wow. Yes, Jesus fulfilled his Father's will. But God's work is not done. He continues his ministry through us. I think I'm going to just skip over this part for sake of time. Because this last thing that I want to bring out is really what I want us to understand this morning. My voice is like going. This question of how can we be effective in bringing salvation to this world? In what way is our outreach going to be the most effective? And I think it's this idea of communion. We might be like, what? Communion? That don't make sense. Like, how's that going to be effective? Don't get me wrong. I think self-evangelism is very important, and it's needed in order to bring the gospel to the lost. Self-evangelism is needed by all of us. Very important. But I believe we need to understand that God designed community in the church to be the basis for outreach. We need to rethink this and grasp the power in it. Unity generates fruit and it generates light. If you think about a friend or a loved one who's ill, there is nothing in our own human strength that we can do it right then to heal that person. We cry out to God to perform a miracle to heal them. Oftentimes we gather at church and we pray for this person, pleading that God heal them. And sometimes, you know, in that we realize that there is nothing that we can do to heal that person on our own strength. There is nothing that we can do. And sometimes I think in an outreach, we don't have the same mindset. When we're asking God to save somebody, what are we asking him to do? And in reality, we're asking him to perform a miracle. Throughout the Bible, God refers to the lost as deaf, as blind, as dead. We need to have that same attitude about outreach. God is performing a miracle and saving them from their sin. In John 6:63, it says, "The Spirit alone gives life. The flesh is of no help at all." At all. The flesh is of no help. This is challenging to me and something that I've struggled with. Sometimes I think we have the mindset that in evangelism, there's something that we can do to help it along. Turn with me to John 15. "I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branch that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But you, if you remain in me and in my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father." Verse 16, "You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command. Love each other." This idea of being connected to the vine. Remaining in Him. Nothing of our own strength, of the flesh is of no help at all. If we become disconnected from the vine, and in essence try to have our own ministry, this idea of community, all being connected to that vine, producing fruit, remain in the Father. And we will bear fruit. John 17, verse 6. I have revealed you to the ones you gave me from this world. They were always yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything I have is a gift from you, for I have passed on to them the message you gave me. They accepted it and know that I came from you, and they believe you sent me. My prayer is not for this world. This is Jesus praying to the Father for His disciples and also for all people. My prayer is not for this world, but for those you have given me, because they belong to you. All who are mine belong to you, and you have given them to me, so they bring me glory. Now I'm departing from the world. They are staying in the world, but I am coming to you. Holy Father, you have given me your name. Now protect them by the power of your name so that they will be united just as we are. That they may be united as we are. Can we be united as the Father and the Son are? Producing fruit. And also, in 1 Peter 2, it talks about us being living stones that God is building into His temple. Building us up. We all have a perfect place. I always have to picture back to Gary's message with that wall. We all have our place. We can't try to have these straight edges. There's that one verse I want to read in that chapter. And you are living stones that God is building into His spiritual temple. What's more, you're His holy priests. You are a chosen people, royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. And as a result of this, you can show others the goodness of God, for He called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. There's this one verse I want to read yet, and it is don't have my sticky note now. Wait a minute. Just give me one second. First Corinthians 2:4. And my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. No, it's not the right one. Here we go. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes." Again, I say, for every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes. I just ask, can we somehow in this, in uniting, fruit will be produced and the message of Christ is going to come out of each of our lives when we remain in the Father and love each other, breaking bread together, washing each other's feet. I think it's this idea of communion. It can be one of the most effective ways of outreach. God calls us to carry the flame. We have a joy inside of us that wants to come out. It wants to overflow. There's a song that really meant a lot to me in this. And I want to read the lyrics and then I want to play the song. And it's a husband that's talking to his wife. Okay. It says, "Been around a little more than 20 years, and it all has brought us here. But there's a love that goes far beyond what the eye can see and reaches down and changes you and me. It's a mystery. The ocean cannot quench it. It burns like a blazing fire, like a mighty flame. It won't be swept away. So we don't have to fear, my love, because he'll make a way as we carry the flame. Well, this love has been around since long before we were born. It'll be here when we're gone. It's going to carry on and on beyond to the end of time. Because the perfect groom, he laid down his life. The love is bright. And it burns like a blazing fire, like a mighty flame. The ocean cannot quench it. It won't be swept away. It'll be so much better than we knew it could. It'll be so much harder than we thought it would. We carry the fire of the Son of Man. So there's nothing to fear because we are always in his hands. So you and I will do our best to love each other as we should. And this love we found is good, good, good. It burns like a blazing fire, a mighty flame. The ocean cannot quench it. It won't be swept away. We have a flame to carry. God's love has changed us. Let's unite. Break bread together. Let the message go out from each one of our families. Each of our families has a ministry that God has called us to. It's going to be different. Each one of us. Our ministry is different. But God says, I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. I have filled you with my love, with my joy. Oh, Lord, please ignite a fire within us. Tristan, you want to play that song?